Amen. Genesis, the book of Genesis. Believe it or not, we're still studying through the book of Genesis. And we're going to do something. It's been about 6 weeks since we've been here, or maybe even a little bit longer. So we're going to do a little bit of review. Because a lot of times we don't remember all that. And I even enjoy going back and restudying some of these things and just some of the things that caught my eye, that kind of thing. So we're going to go back and review Genesis 12 through 16. I don't know that we'll get through all of it tonight. We'll sort of skim through these things. Because, again, purpose of Bible study, not just here, but anything in your daily reading, in your devotional time, in your study time, whatever it might be, our goal is not just to get done. Our goal is to learn something. And that's what we desire for us to do. And here, again, you know, Genesis being that seedbed for the Word of God so much, that we see here in Genesis that set things in order for the whole picture of what we're looking at throughout the Word of God. And especially here in Genesis chapter 12 through 16, we are introduced to probably one of the main characters, if you want to say it that way. I don't like, makes you think it's not real, but one of the main men that God chose to use by the name of Abram. And we know how God used Abram and then brought in the nation of Israel and how that set in place the Old Testament coming into the New Testament. And so many things that we hopefully saw, and we will try to bring those things back to mind this evening. So let's just look at Genesis chapter 12. We'll read just a little bit, probably just the first three verses, and then we'll let you be seated. And then we'll just sort of skim through some things just to get our minds back on what Genesis, our study's about. Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So let's pray. Father, we love you. We do thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege, God, just to be in your house this evening, Lord. And God, I thank you, Lord, again for, Lord, how you've blessed, how you've touched. God, thank you for the one that was saved here Sunday night. Lord, we praise you for that. And Lord, just how you continue to meet needs, God, many lost around about us, Lord. I know we see them every day. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd just give us an unction. God, just give us power, Lord, to be that light and that salt. God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. God, just help us to see truth, Lord. And God, not what we think, not what we've been taught, but Lord, what saith the Scriptures, Lord. And Lord, I know there's needs tonight, God, so many needs. God, our country's in a mess. God, families are in a mess. God, so many things are wrong in our day. But I'm glad there's one thing I know this evening that's true, and that's the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we try to study together. God, give our hearts to understanding, not just with our minds, but with our heart. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do here this evening, Lord. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, we're introduced, chapter 11, to a man by the name of Abram. And here in chapter 12, we see that God has called him. And just to remind you, God, again, called him for three things. And we looked at those three things in great need there. And three things. First of all, to leave his land, to leave his kindred, and then to go somewhere he didn't know where he's going. And a great picture of the faith of Abraham. And boy, we need more faith today. So many people today talk about faith, and people say, yeah, I want to live by faith, but faith isn't seeing. And people talk about blind faith. I don't believe in blind faith. I believe in a God that assures our heart, that leads us and guides us, and we put our whole trust in him. And so we see that Abraham was given that commandment to go out and leave his country, leave his kindred, leave his house, leave his family, and to go somewhere there that he didn't know. And God said, I'll show you where you're heading when you get there. And then verse number 2, I really like verse number 2 here. Look at what God can do. God says, and I will make of thee. And I wonder this evening, as we see again, and we'll get to this later, but if you remember back to our study, Abraham is not a superhero. Now, we just had our VBS talking about heroes, and I'm glad there is a hero, and that is Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham wasn't some superhero. You look at Abraham and all his faults. He was a man that made just like you and I are. And he was up, he was down, he was right, he was wrong. But God continued to work in his life. Even when he was wrong, God worked in his life and he would repent. He'd get back in line with God. He'd move on with God. And that's exactly where you and I are at today. You know, we're not always on top. Sometimes we do fall. Sometimes we do mess up. But I want you to understand, we can see a faithful man here by the name of Abraham. Or here, Abram. He hadn't become Abraham yet. But look at verse number 2. And he says, I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's what God said to Abram. But tonight, God can still work in our lives tonight. It's the same God that promised this to Abram. It's the same God tonight that will help us. Now listen, TV preachers, a lot of preachers today, you know, they'll say, well, if you're right with God, you'll have plenty of money. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that relationship with God that either, if I got money, if I don't have money, if I got help and don't have help, that God is real to me and God has blessed me. Look, I got to think about coming up the road, how blessed we really are tonight. You ever just think, count your blessings one by one? How blessed are you this evening? And look at what God has done. And that's what God promises Abram here, that he would bless him. And what a great blessing. And then verse number 3, we spent some time in verse number 3 because there's an interesting phrase here. We won't take time to read all of that. But verse 3 says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And if you remember, you know, if you got a memory, mine don't work too good here lately, but there's an interesting phrase in this verse number 3. Says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. We see that God says, I'll bless them, being plural, but he says, I'll curse him, being singular. And I'm glad this evening that God has blessed. And again, we're talking about Abraham here. We know the nation of Israel will be birthed out of Abraham. And God has promised that blessing to that nation. And he also promises the blessing to nations that bless that nation. And I'm glad that America, so far, is still on that side of right of dealing with the nation of Israel. But God says, I'll curse him individually. That God says there, he'll curse him that curseth that nation of Israel. And then the latter part of verse number 3 talks about there. He says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And boy, what a wonderful thought there it is. Because how are we blessed today? Through that promise. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him coming out of this lineage here. And so what a blessing it is to follow after this man by the name of Abraham or Abram here. In verse number 4, we see that Abram departed. And again, we see that nation of Israel being birthed into here. Verse 4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So here again, we see that beginning. And here we see that beginning of God separating an individual. And from that individual, we know that God has promised, or we'll see that promise later, how God has promised, he said it in verse 2, a great nation there. And that great nation being the nation of Israel. And I wanted to go back and look just for a moment quickly. We won't look at the verses. I'll give them to you again. Of what we looked at, that fourfold purpose of the nation of Israel. And I know that's a very maybe broad look at it. But there's really four things that we really zeroed in on of what this the nation of Israel set in place. And the first of all that we looked at, which was in Isaiah chapter 43, was the nation of Israel was put in place to be his witness. The nation of Israel is a witness of who God is and what God has done. Second of all, we looked in Psalms 102 and Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 1 Chronicles chapter 17, how the nation of Israel was put in place to show the blessings of God. And how God blessed that nation, and how we today, through God's blessings on the nation of Israel, how we see God at work today. So not only do we see the nation of Israel as his witness, as his blessings, but also, and praise God for this evening, because I hold in my hand, Romans chapter 3, the nation of Israel was given what? The purpose of taking care and preserving the Word of God. They received the Word of God. God used them to pin down the Word of God, and through them they have kept the Word of God. And so we see another purpose there. And then the last of those four there, and we've already mentioned it, but Romans chapter 9, verse number 3, the nation of Israel, we see was that chosen to bring that chosen seed into this world, being the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we see the nation of Israel here as Abraham steps out in faith. So now Abraham's on his journey, and again, Abraham, as we've seen, is not a hero as far as a superhero, but he is a great man of faith, and we've seen his faults, we saw his frailties, and verse number 6, we see his trials, and Abraham passed through the land under the place Shechem into a plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So right off the bat, he's right into the midst of troubles and trials. And verse number 7, we see another great thing here in the Bible. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land, and will build he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." So God speaks to him in verse number 7 here in chapter 12. And if you remember our study, God didn't speak to him again until he got right with God again, because we know that Abram did not listen to God in the full extent. When God tells us something, it's not, well, we'll do 95% of it, or we'll do 98% of it. God tells us what to do, and we must do what God says. And what a great picture, because Abram didn't do everything that God told him to do in leaving his family and leaving that place. Verses 8 and 9 here in chapter 12, we see his journey. And let's look at those two verses, because there's an interesting thought there with us. And he removed from thence into a mountain in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And we looked at that thought because Abram at that point is between two places. And that's where I am today. That's what Paul says. He said he's betwixt two places. You know, he said it's better for me to go to heaven, but it's better for you if I stay here. And tonight, as we sit here tonight, many times I was thinking about some things I read this week, and I got to think about heaven and home, and my mind began to think about one of these days, I'm going home. As we tried to preach Sunday morning, you know, I'm going to get there, amen. Nothing's going to hold me back. If the Lord was called right now through death, I'd be in heaven. If he come back for the church, I'm going to be in heaven. But right now, we're still on this earth. So just as Paul, or just as Abram is betwixt two places this season, we are too. And boy, many times it's easy to get our minds so captivated on this world. Heard a man say the other day, he's talking about some things. He says, you know, I can't wait for the Lord to come back, but I ain't ready for him to come today. Why? Because he had some things in his flesh he thought would be more than going to heaven. And I thought, boy, when you start really thinking about that, there's not nothing in this world that I wouldn't be willing to give up. Amen. He'd come today and I'd say, hallelujah, let's go. And so that we see sort of where Abraham's at here between two places. And then chapter 12, verses 9 through chapter 13, verse 4, we see how Abram is faced with that problem of a famine. And what did he do? Remember where he went? He went to Egypt, didn't he? And boy, Egypt was a mess up for Abram, wasn't it? And so we looked at all those things. And then chapter 13, verse number 1, boy, is a great picture of great repentance. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he and Lot with him, into the south. Abram here repents. And when we studied here, we looked at that trueness of repentance. You know, a lot of people today talk about sin, talk about repentance, but we don't see a lot of repentance today. A lot of people are sorry when they get caught. A lot of people are sorry when they get their hand caught in the cookie jar, as we say it. But Abram says he went up out of Egypt. And that's true repentance. When we realize we're not where we need to be, we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, we don't leave ourselves there, we get up, pick ourselves up, ask God to wash us and make us clean, get us back up where we need to be. And that's what we saw here in chapter 13, verse number 1, is a great picture of true repentance. He leaves Egypt. And then verses 4 through 5 there, we see he gets back on track. And verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham and had flocks and herds and tents. And then we see a problem comes. And this is the thought we looked at for much of the time there, because it caused so much problems with him. Abram come up out of Egypt. Just because Abram left Egypt, Egypt really never left Abram and his family. That time that he spent there in Egypt caused problems. And here we see, as we run into chapter 13, as we see how separation comes between Abram and Lot and all the problems that happened there, again, just because of not obeying God. And so the next few verses, chapters, we see all that time there with Abraham and Lot and all the troubles they had there because of Egypt and because of the problems there of sin in their lives. And again, we see that constant battle there between doing what God wanted them to do and not doing what God wanted them to do. And then we come to chapter 15, and chapter 15 was really where we started spending a lot of time in, because in chapter 15, if you remember right, I told you there's many firsts here in chapter 15. It's the first time we see the Word of God comes to someone. It's the first place we see that vision, first place that God said not to be afraid. It's the first place God spoke as of a shield and rewards, first place He talks about that abundant inheritance. And then verse number 6, boy, that's where we really spent a lot of time. Let's read up to that. Look at verse chapter 15. After these, verse 15, verse 1 says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And again, here, much time has passed from the time that God initially spoke to Abram about doing something in his life. Many years have passed, many miles have gone. A lot of water has run under the bridge, as they see. And Abram has got to that place in his life that, God, are you not going to do this? God, you said you're going to make a nation out of me. You said you were going to give me all of this. And I don't see it, God. And many times in our short lives, and boy, our lives are really short, just as a vapor. Many times we get to that place like, God, did you not say you was going to do that? God, where you at? And that's exactly where Abram was at this part of his life. He knew that God had promised him something, but it hadn't come to place yet. And here Abram's getting old, and Abram's seeing that there's no way that what God says is ever going to come true. And friend, tonight it's a great thought in our minds that we need to understand that God cannot lie. What God said He will do, He will do, not just for Abram, but He'd do it for us. Those people that we pray for, don't quit praying for them. Just because you haven't seen something, just because I haven't seen what we want to see, doesn't mean that God is not at work, that God is not doing something. Listen, God is at work. God is, it's like this revival that we're seeing in different areas of our state. Where's that coming from? It's not coming from man, or it wouldn't be revival. But God is working in hearts and people at a certain time, at a certain place, I believe for a certain reason. I think we're getting to that place where God's going to rise back up again. And we're going to see another little bit of a harvest right before the Lord comes back. And I believe God's at work right now doing that. And here Abram is at that place again that he's ready to give up. He's like, this ain't going to happen. And God comes to him and God says, look, Abram, come out here. He says, you see those stars? Count them. Look at them. Verse 4, he talks, says, look toward heaven and tell the stars thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. So God's like, you can't count those stars. And God says, I'm going to give you more than that. And then we see that great verse that we spent a lot of time in verse number 6, because it's such a key to what we in this new Christian, New Testament church age that we're in. We're talking about righteousness. Abraham received righteousness here because of one thing. What was that one thing? He simply believed God. Then the question that we tried to put into our hearts and our mind is, what did he believe? And that's the place that every born-again person, if you're saved tonight, you've got to get to that same place that Abraham got to. We've got to believe something. Well, I believe. Well, even the devil and the devil's angels and his, they believe. It's not about believing. Abram believed what? What did Abram believe to get a hold of righteousness? He believed the same thing that I have to believe to have the righteousness of God. It's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. Abraham simply believed what God said. And that's exactly what I did when I trusted Christ. I saw myself in that same place that Abram saw himself. He saw there was no way that Abram could do what needed to be done, and only God could do it. Is that not where we as that place when we called on Christ, came to that place where we realized that we were lost, that we were undone, that we were dirty, and that there's no way that we could clean ourselves, there's no way that we could get ourselves out of that pit, out of that mess that our sin nature was in? And we asked God, we cried out to God, "Oh God, I'm trusting you and quit trusting me." See, a lot of people are going to miss hell or miss heaven because they're trusting themselves. I like to ask people when I talk to them, they'll say, I ask, "Are you going to heaven when you die?" "Well, yeah, I'm going to heaven." I always like to ask them, "How are you getting there? How are you getting there if you're going?" And I don't mean it sarcastically, because people today, and you might be sitting here that way tonight, so many people have religion. So many people have been taught. And I'm all for teach. That's the reason we're here tonight, trying to learn the Word of God. But we see a great truth in verse 6 about how Abram received the righteousness of God. And that's what I've got tonight because of Christ. I have his righteousness tonight. But a lot of people, when you ask them that question, "Well, how are you getting to heaven?" "Well, I go to church." That's not what Abram did. "Well, I've been baptized." That's not what Abram did. "Well, I'm a good person." Abram was a pretty decent guy at times, but that's not what brought him righteousness. And so many people today sitting in church houses all over the world today are trusting in something that they can touch, that they can feel. I've heard people say this, and I thought, well, so-and-so, they didn't even cry when they prayed. Where did it say you had to cry? Where did it even say you had to pray? Now, I know that goes against most religion. "I'm going to say this prayer and you're going to go to heaven." Nowhere in the Bible it tells you to pray to go to heaven. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not through a prayer. It's not through the Romans road. It's through a place where a man, just as Abram come to, where he saw, "There's no way that I can ever get from where I am to where you are. God, I'm just going to trust you to do it." And that's the truth of what we, all the way back in Genesis chapter 15, we see this great truth, and that same truth is still running today. So what a great, 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 great thought. Verses 7 through 21, verse 7 is another first. It's the first place there, or it's not a first, but it's the first time since the garden. And he said to him, "I am the Lord that brought thee up out of the earth. Shall these to give you this land to inherit?" And he said, "To God, whereby shall I..." That's the right verse? Nope, that's not the right verse. I miswrote that verse down. But he said, "I am the Lord that brought thee up out of the earth of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land, and is not heirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also the nations whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out by the great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto thy seed, have I given this land from river of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates, Kenites and Kenzites and the Kadamonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. Again, there's so many things, and we don't have time to really dig into these again, but so many things just in those verses. And that first is there in verse number 12 where Abram is put to sleep. It's the second time you see that place where God put somebody to sleep. Of course, the first one's Adam. Here it is again with Abram. But there's so many things here that we looked at, and we'll just skim through them again. Again, verse 6, he's counted for righteousness. And then God begins to lay some things out of how he's going to put things in order. And then Abram does something. He sacrifices. And I really enjoyed when we went through this, because so many people do what Abram just doing here, and God is working in their lives, and they sacrifice something unto God. And as soon as Abram sacrifices these animals unto God, what came? The buzzards. And I'm saying tonight, there's a lot of people that say they're going to give something to God, and the buzzards of life come by and want to steal that blessing, and they give up on it. But Abram didn't give up on it. Abram run those birds off. Abram kept that sacrifice. Why? Because he gave it unto God. And tonight, church, even in the years that we're living in the times that we're living in, and all the chaos that we're living in, we need to realize, hey, what we give to God is God's, and we should stand up and stay in our place. It doesn't mean if it's politically correct or if the world's happy with us or if they say we're crazy. We know what God has done in our lives and what we've committed unto God. Stand up for those things. And when those birds come, shoo them away. And we need more people to stand up in these days. And then we see that God tells Abram that there's bad days are coming. He tells him, you're going to be in a foreign land. This, your seed's going to be taken and be taken captive. And they're going to be put into bondage. And they're going to be servants. And and we know the truth of that. We know how the nation of Israel did end up that way. But we also notice that God delivers them. Verse 17, we spent some time working through those verses, talking about that furnace and that lamp. And the furnace there, anytime we went through Egypt, we went through several verses talking about that furnace. That furnace talks about the sufferings and afflictions. Every time you see that furnace with the nation of Israel, it's dealing with their afflictions and their sufferings. But praise God, that lamp. And I'm glad that this word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. Just as much as that furnace was a reality of the sufferings and the afflictions of the nation of Israel, and God said they're coming. But I'm thankful for the lamp, because that lamp is a picture of deliverance of the nation of Israel. And we too this evening, we have our sufferings. We have our afflictions, but I'm glad that we have that lamp, the Lord Jesus Christ, our light, and there is going to be deliverance. So I thank God. God took care of Israel. God's going to take care of us. Verses 17 through 16 again, there's seven things that God promises here to the nation of Israel. First of all, verse 13, that their seed would be a stranger in the land. Second of all, shall serve those nations. Third of all, have the afflictions for 400 years. Verse 14, the nation will be judged. Fifth, they shall come out with great substance after all that. And boy, I'm telling you, boy, there's a payday coming for us too, amen. This ain't nothing. This is just a junk heap, amen. We're pilgrims passing through. There's something great better for us one day. Verse 15, he promises to go to his fathers in peace and a good old age. And then he talks about there in verse 16, that fourth generation and deliverer. And you follow that fourth generation out, coming all the way into the cross of Calvary. You see Christ there. So those leads us up to where we sort of left off the last time, and that's chapter 16. And let me just run through a few things that we looked at through chapter 16, and we'll be done this evening. We see in chapter 16, again, here's Abram messing up again. God has promised him all the way back over there again in chapter 15 that there's going to be a seed coming, and Abram knows that, but time has passed on. We come now to chapter 16. It says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain child by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And again, isn't it sad? Abram had done talk to God. Abram had already heard from God. Abram had already seen that God had promised him. Abram believed, and it was counted unto him righteous, that God was going to give him a seed. But now, again, later in life, things hadn't happened like he thought it was going to happen. Things wasn't going just as quick as he thought it would go. And now Abram's come to that place. Well, Sarai comes up and says, Look, Abram, we're not getting no younger. If we're going to have some children, we're going to have to do something. And Sarai convinces Abram to take Hagar and have a child. And we know that child, Ishmael. But Abram didn't listen to God. You know, I used to have preachers, and I hope, fellas, you that are in here that are called to preach and some others that maybe God's dealing with you. It's not my place to tell you what the will of God is for your life. I'll help pray with you. I'll give you as much guidance as I can. Don't listen to man. Now, I know we can get good counseling, we can get good advice. But when God has given us direction, when God has given us something in our heart, stand on that till God tells you something different. But Abram listened to his wife. And look at the mess that it got him into. Now, I'm not saying, fellas, don't listen to your wives. It'll get you in a mess, too, if you don't listen to her. But I'm saying when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to this walking with God, don't let the flesh get in the way. So we see here Abram listens to his wife, and we know that he bears that child, Ishmael. Verse 3 there, Abram didn't consult God. 10 years he waited, and finally he said enough. Sarai gives Hagar to Abram. Verse 4, verse 5, now Sarah blames Abram. And isn't that how it works? And I remember we went through that. Look how this thing unfolds. And verse 4, he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And look at the change of heart there. Now she's blaming Abram, but the problem wasn't her or him, it was her. It always looks like it's somebody else's fault. I heard a preacher say one time, when you point your finger at one, you're pointing three back at yourself. And so true. It's we need to let God examine us and work in our hearts. Let's see. Verse 12, we see a little bit of what this problem brought forth. Again, Abram listened to the flesh. Verse 12 says, and he, Ishmael is born. Verse 12 says, and he will be a wild man. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? What God had for Abram, and now what he's got is going to be a wild man. Be sure our sins will find us out. Be sure what we sow, we're going to reap. That's what Abram's getting a great touch of here. So he has a wild man. Goes on to say, he'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also her here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lyle roll, and behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to him. So we see that he's a wild man. It says his hands will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And another, you know, again, a great truth here. It's all because of that sin and what sin does into his life and his problems. It didn't just cause problems with Abram. It caused problems with Abram and Sarai. It caused problems with Abram and Hagar. It caused problems today. What do you think all this fighting is going on over there? All because of what takes place here. So when we spent much time looking at who Hagar was and run some of those things out and where it runs us today. Verse 9 it says, "And God said unto Abram, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in the generation." Back up verse 6. "And I will make thee exceeding..." That's 17, wrong place. Thought that didn't read right. Verse 9, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and that it shall be numbered for multitude. The angel of the Lord said to her, Behold, thou art with child, shalt bear a son, thou shalt call his name Ishmael." And again, there's that birth there. So we see all the troubles that it brings, and we spend a lot of time looking at the picture of sin and the life of Abram. And we looked at that thought, too, there in verse number 10. There's two lessons there about Abram waiting on the Lord, and then Hagar, that submission, and for her to go back. What a great picture that is there of following after the Lord. So this sort of brings us back to where we stopped off 6 weeks ago or more. I know it's a run through quickly, but just wanted to throw Abram back into our minds and get us thinking about all the things that God is put in place here and how those things are at work and still. And again, if you remember back to our study in the book of Revelations, how God is going to bring that nation of Israel back to these things that God has promised. And those promises, if you remember what God told Abram, those things, he tells him, no man's going to take that away. And no man's going to take that away. What God has said, God will do for the nation of Israel. And those things are yet to come there. So I know it's a skimming through, just trying to bring some things back to our mind. Lord willing, next week we'll jump back into the latter part of 16 into 17 and get kicked back off here in the study of Genesis. So, all right, let's stand together this evening. We'll